WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Adrian Strother can't sleep. Strother is the protagonist in Madison Smart Bell's new novel, Dr. Sleep. Strother is a hypnotherapist and ex-junkie living and working in London. The deeper he goes into sleeplessness, the more psychotic he gets. He's prone to megalomania anyway. In a review of Dr. Sleep in the New York Times, Elizabeth Tallant wrote, "Bell renders the marginal, the underground, the twisted or seedy, with quirky attentiveness. He catches the poignant in the freakish." Dr. Sleep is Bell's sixth novel. I asked Bell to read from the opening paragraph of Dr. Sleep.
O Lord, my God, creator of the universe, once again you caused me to remain awake the whole night through. Toward dawn, I think I managed to forget myself a little, but you couldn't really have called it sleep. More like floating from layer to layer of not sleeping, from shade to shade of white, if there was any such distinction.
Do you have problems with insomnia yourself, and does that have anything to do with your new novel?
I do occasionally. It used to be a lot worse. I now occasionally have what I call an insomnia jag of maybe 3 days of a lot of trouble sleeping, and then it will stop.
Well, that's about the length of time that elapses in your book.
You're given to believe, the novel takes 3 days to happen, and 3 nights the narrator doesn't sleep, but you are sort of given to believe in the beginning that he's been up a lot longer than that before he starts talking.
What kind of state does a typical insomnia jag leave you in?
Well, it makes it very difficult to function well in waking life. I mean, the typical problem is when you're supposed to be sleeping, you're really vividly awake, and when you're not supposed to be sleeping, you're very sleepy, and you feel like you would be sleeping, you know, this very minute, if only you weren't so busy, you know, trying to incompetently do your tasks that you can't do very well.
Why was this a state you wanted to capture in a novel?
Well, I suppose I like the idea of increasing tension of a consciousness that never rests. It builds up over a period of time. And, an unsleeping consciousness is kind of an interesting thing. I mean, if you didn't experience it, you might think it was desirable.
You've described yourself as being interested in extreme mental states. Is that due to experimentation you've taken yourself or extremes that you've experienced?
Inadvertently, mostly. Yes, well, Flannery O'Connor has an idea that, which I have always thought was true, that when the personality is stretched to the breaking point, it reveals itself more plainly. I think that's a very interesting idea, to the extent to which it is absolutely true, I wonder, but it's dramatically effective.
So how have you stretched your own over the years?
Sort of a general question. I've tried probably most of the usual ways. Vice, danger, foolhardiness, insomnia.
You've made your main character a hypnotherapist. Was that another form of altered consciousness that you wanted to explore in the book, hypnosis?
Yes, I went to a hypnotist for the first time maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I suppose I didn't know very much about hypnosis then, and I thought it was a very interesting state to be in, and in many ways rather enviable. The state of being in hypnosis is extremely pleasant. It is a very relaxed state. You get some of the benefits that people get from things like transcendental meditation. You get some of the benefits that people get from drugs without the consequences, by and large.
What sent you into hypnosis?
Stress. A kind of complex of minor problems that had to do, insomnia was probably the worst, and other little stress-related tics that I wanted to get rid of. As a therapy, hypnosis has been most successful, or anyway, that's the rep in handling minor problems like small-time phobias, small-time stress problems, and small-time addictions like cigarette smoking. most people who are strictly hypnotists and not also analysts or psychiatrists of some kind or other will tend to stay away from deep psychotic problems. This also becomes an issue in the novel, where you have one of these guys who has no medical degree, has no official psychiatric training, dealing with people who are drastically sick.
Split personality, drug addict.
Multiple personality, I think, which is different.
Right, yeah.
Different from schizophrenia, although often confused.
Most of your fiction is very urban. This novel, for instance, is pretty urban, and you have thugs and drug addicts and street punks and so on. You grew up on a farm in Tennessee. From there, I think you went to Princeton to go to college and then ended up in New York City or on the outskirts of New York City. So what were your first encounters with city life like?
Well, very intimidating, I think. I began to go to New York when I was a college student, and I would always be lost and confused and somewhat afraid because I knew that I was visibly incompetent to handle the situation. I sort of resented that. It's one of the reasons I wanted to go back and live there, because I didn't like the idea of being defeated by it, you know, and frightened away. So I went back and stayed for 7 years until I knew it really very well and even became a little tired of it. But there's something very attractive to me all along about perpetual motion, a hive of activity, which is, of course, unsleeping.
Well, I think part of that activity, from what I know about you, is the activity of roaches that were in your apartment. It sounds like your early years, anyways, in the city were spent in cheap apartments. I think you were involved with drugs at the time. It sounds like, you know, the underside of the city. Though nearly every place in New York has.
Yeah. I wasn't ever very deeply involved in drugs because I couldn't afford it. I moved to New York straight out of college, and I didn't get a job. It was sort of the underside or the flip side of the coin in which the Ivy League English major goes in and gets an entry-level job in publishing. I wanted to go there and not do that and live by doing pickup work or somehow. And so I naturally ended up in the ghetto. And sadly, I think it's no longer possible to do that with any remote degree of safety, since I lived there during the time that I lived there, the expense of being in the city, even in the most marginal way, tripled at least. And the dangers went up. But for me at that time, for the first 3 or 4 years, it was an acceptable level of risk.
You started writing and getting published when you were pretty young, when you were in your 20s.
I think I was 25 when my first book came out.
Were you ever seen by literary critics as part of a group of younger writers? You
know, no, I miss that. I miss that completely. And it used to irritate me in the beginning that I wasn't getting any sort of promotional points for being a prodigy. But 5 years later, around the time I turned 30, and the media turned on all their young wunderkind writers and started calling them the Brat Pack and kicking them around, I realized I'd been extremely lucky to have been handled as an adult all along, which I think in a way I was. So I didn't get no candy, but then I escaped the backlash also, and I think that was good.
When you were younger, you were able to flirt with different kinds of dangers, mental states, stuff like that. Now that you're in your 30s, do you still find yourself doing that, flirting with danger, or, you know, with altered perception, or is it all
imaginary? I tell you what, I try not to do anything anymore that has real risk to it, because it's not just me anymore. I'm married now. My wife is expecting a baby. I don't feel, you know, freedom to take risks with my life just for fun, even if they're small, that I did before, and I can't say I particularly miss it. The one thing that keeps that going for me a little bit is martial arts, which I do every day.
How does that help you?
Well, it's a stylized risk situation. You go in and you do a lot of strenuous physical activity and you fight, but you're not going to get killed. But symbolically, it's as if you might.
Do you worry about running out of material if you remove yourself from that kind of risky situation that you used to thrive on?
Not really. Not really. I think the writer who writes only about his own sensibility is at risk of running out, I think. But I've never felt that I was that kind of writer. I'm interested in other people.
I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Well, sure. My pleasure.
Madison Smart Bell's new novel is Dr. Sleep. This is Fresh Air.